talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy!
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hey, good to be here. We are talking more about the self-coaching model. And why are we talking about that again? Because it's such a powerful tool. Okay, the more that we use it in our own lives, the more we see changes that we really want and like. And the more that my clients use it and dive into it, like not just in sessions together, but in between sessions, the more that they do that, the more progress they make in a quicker amount of time. It's pretty awesome to watch.
It's kind of like, it's like the gym for your brain, right? Like if you're doing a little bit, little personal exercise every day in between seeing your trainer every week, like the results might be different than only doing the work once a week with your trainer.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And the way it's also like that is when you use the model, like there's a difference between trying to approach your brain or trying to approach a workout with bad form and with like proper form, right? If you do bad form, you're more likely to get stuck in your progress and or maybe injure yourself. With the model, it's kind of like doing that workout with good form in a way that actually works and strengthens you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to think about it with my yoga instructor, like kind of just helping me tweak like my sideways plank or something like that. Like remember to like lift up or things like that.
Yeah, so, yeah. Just like tilting your pelvis in some little way is like, whoa, that's a difference and like a good one.
Yes. So, and for our people who don't know what the model is, you can look back at the last few episodes.
Yeah, the last two episodes.
The last two to kind of just see kind of more what we're talking about. But basically we're talking about this is like the model that we use in our coaching where, you know, we have thoughts and our thoughts lead to feelings, which drive our actions in life, which bring about our results. So take a look at your life today and like everything that you have or don't have, like that is like what you have or don't have is a result of actions that you took, right? For the most part. And I think in the world today, that's where for a lot of people that's where it stops. It's like, oh, well, I haven't lost the weight. I just need to eat less and exercise more and sleep well. And
yeah, it's like you only focus on what actions to right. take or not take.
Right. And so the way we like to teach things is where we go deeper because we believe that like our actions, like fuel of our actions, which we talked about in our last podcast episode, the fuel of our actions is emotions. Okay. And those emotions come from our thinking. And so this is so powerful because it can kind of help us look at our past thinking and our thinking patterns and our past decisions and how we've gotten to where we are. And it can help us process a lot of our past and work through like painful experiences that we've had and circumstances that we just don't like. But the cool thing about it is once you like work through all that, it can get really fun.
Yeah, it can.
And it can be fun while you're working through it too. Like it totally can be. But it can also be fun to like start thinking about the future and what it is that you want and get excited about that too. And I've noticed with my clients, you know, they usually come to me and they start out wanting to work through some, you know, some tougher stuff that's been really hard for them. And then we get to shift into this, like, just like open them up to like, what do you want? What sounds fun to you? What is it? What are your deepest desires? Right. And so it's kind of fun to like use the model from a future focused standpoint as well.
Yeah, that's how it where it gets really exciting. Okay, so so results are an important thing to talk about. Okay, one thing that came up for me recently is this is how we often have blind spots to our own results. Okay, that's part of why it's so useful to have a coach because of these blind spots. And it's not just in what the results are, but it's also in how we're creating those results for ourselves, yes, right? With our own thinking and the feelings that's creating, right? And sometimes I have a pretty good idea of what's going on when I do a model on my own brain. But then I just had this experience yesterday with my coach, and basically she was coaching me through this stuff, and everything she was saying, I was like, you know what? I just told my client that same thing just earlier today. And she's like, so how come you haven't told yourself that? And I was like, it's almost like I just didn't even realize I needed to yet, or I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And it was just funny how, like I see it so much more clearly in my client, but then when it's my own, like, for some reason, having a coach there, it's so powerful. That's, like, one of the best parts of the coaching process is you can reach these levels that you can't do as well on your own.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. I had the same, not the same, but a similar eye-opening experience a few days ago with my coach, where there was this little tiny thing we were working on, like this little thing. It seemed so inconsequential, like compared to other things I've hired coaches for. But oh my gosh, it broke open this like thought pattern that I've had for years and years and years that has affected so many parts of my life. So it can be really powerful to have a second set of eyes, you know, on your brain, because our brain is very dynamic and smart. And, you know, a lot of times we block certain thoughts from even coming to our consciousness, because at some point it might have been like a survival thing or, you know, something like that to help us not have to feel.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. Awesome example. So results are consequences of your actions, right?
Right.
And they're often evidence of the underlying thinking, okay? So if you are struggling to figure out what your current result is, one thing you can do is come up with a really extensive list of the actions and inactions that you notice when you are feeling and thinking a certain way. Like, sometimes people want to just throw one or two actions on there, but it's much more useful, I think, to, like, just come up with a really exhaustive list of all the actions you notice, and then your result can become more clear to you in that case. So Lindsay was gonna take us into an example of a model here.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you can, the circumstance that I'm using for this model is husband looked at porn yesterday or something like that. And, you know, if your husband isn't looking at porn, but there's something he's doing that's, like, driving you batty, you know, maybe he doesn't take the trash out. Maybe he's not present with the kids during those, like, you know, those hours, those precious hours or minutes where everyone's home together, whatever it is, something that he's not doing or hasn't done for a long time that kind of bothers you, like, you can apply this to your own situation. Yeah. You know, but for some of our listeners, it might be husband looked at porn yesterday. Okay. Yeah,
and circumstances are neutral to our brains, remember, right? So one of the ways that we can kind of know that this is a neutral thing, that husband looked at porn, is you can think about all the wives that there are in the world who really are, it couldn't care less if their husband looked at porn, right? And some people might be like, well, but they still do because porn kills love. But I think there really are people who really don't care if their husband looks at porn, right?
Maybe they look with their husband, who, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's even those. So it is a neutral thing, and for whatever reason, we have our thoughts that we think about it.
Okay, so husband looks at porn. You find out this information, right? Sometimes with C's, I like to think of it as new information too, okay? Because we were going about our day, and then a circumstance or new information comes into our brain, and then we start thinking about the new information and analyzing it, right? So I might think, oh, things are never going to get better. Like, again, seriously, right? It's never going to get better. And, you know, maybe this is like the 40th time or the 300th time. And it doesn't feel like things are going to get better, right? So maybe I'll say that to myself. And I know for me, if I say that to myself, which I'm sure I did years ago, I would probably start feeling pretty like despondent or hopeless, okay, just pretty bummed, okay? And like literally, like I want you to think about something that your husband isn't doing, or for the guys listening, maybe that you don't think your wife is doing.
Or like for a lot of guys too, they might have the same circumstance. Like I looked at porn yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And they could have the same exact
thought. Like I'm never going to get better.
Things are never going to get better. Like right. That's how I used to think too.
Okay. Right? So tap into yourselves. Like when you say that to yourself, close your eyes, say it to yourself, and like get into that place of like feeling hopeless. Like for me, like my body language totally changes and I just feel like you could, like I just start closing off. Okay. That's more my style.
Like a constrictive type feeling.
A little constricted and like maybe like, you know, some of my clients, they say like the leather wall goes up. They like the leather skin.
Leather skin.
So for me.
To like protect yourself. Your barrier. From like, the world or something.
Yeah. So yeah, like, and when I was feeling hopeless and despondent, I wasn't like wanting to go snuggle with him. I wasn't wanting to sit on the couch with him and like watch Friends together. Okay. I would withdraw. And you know, that this things are never going to get better. That thinking loop would just kind of go on in my brain, which is an action. If you think about it, if you're thinking a thought over and over, like that is an active thing going on. And I would think that over and over. And when I'm thinking in that way, you guys, guess what? I wasn't being as present with my kids. I might have been more short with him because I didn't want to, you know, like I might have been a little more reactive with him. I might have wanted.
You thought I was the cause of the pain.
Right. So I took the new information and I've decided that he was the cause. So, and then, you know, maybe I'd look at social media more just to like distract myself from this feeling of hopelessness. I, you know, there might be times where I like want to control him more because I think if he changes, I'd feel better. Right.
Because if I'm the cause of your pain, then changing me would fix the pain, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. Check his phone. Eat more. That was like a big coping thing for me. Trust me. My body handled everything perfectly because when I started eating a lot more, I gained weight. Like my body totally knew what to do.
Did you check my phone a lot?
No. But I know I did.
Yeah.
There were times where I did.
Yeah. Didn't even know.
Yeah. Like there were times where I did.
You were sneaky about it.
No, I wasn't usually. It was usually I was up late. It was like usually for me, like a lot of my, when I would cope, it would be like, you know, I don't know when he'd go to bed, but I would be up late working. And for a while he was keeping his phone out of the room. And so like, if I was going to get my last little cookie for the night or something, I'd like look at his phone and be like, oh. And I look at it. But anyway, but that's actually really normal behavior for women who have been lied to by their spouses, that hypervigilance and insomnia. Like it's very, very normal coping behavior. So there's nothing, you don't need to like judge yourself for doing that. Anyway, so eat Netflix. I like find my shows that I just wanted to watch alone without him. And I'd complain about him too, complain about people. And I think there's a difference between venting and complaining. And you can decide what works for you. But I could tell for me where I was crossing a line between, like, if I was venting just to have someone just to be heard or complaining and wanting people to, like, jump on the complaining bandwagon. So those, I wanted to be really descriptive with those actions because here I am thinking things are never going to get better. Okay. And then I felt hopeless and then or despondent. And then I would do all those things. And you know what the result is? I wasn't doing, instead of like trying to make myself or the relationship better, I was like doing everything to also not make things better. And if, you know, if you didn't put this into a model, it might just be like, well, it's because he looked at porn, right? It's like, that's why things suck in our marriage. But really, like when you break it down, like everything I was doing, there were little choices and little decisions being made to not take care of myself or not make an effort to make the relationship better. And when we talk about the what a relationship means, well, maybe we can have that be another episode. Yeah. But like I wasn't doing anything to help myself in the situation either. And guess what? Turning inward is where all the power lies. And I was thinking that everything was determined by what was outside of me. So if you have a result like this, or just some result that you don't like, keep in mind, like, this isn't, we're just, like, observing how our thoughts play out. And so I really like to dial into this idea that results are neutral.
Yeah, that's
they're
not really helpful.
Right or wrong. They're not good or bad. We just look at them and we're like, huh, this is what I want to keep. If I want to keep this result, I get to just probably keep thinking the same way, right? But if you want change...
I mean, it might still be useful to, you know, have a certain code of ethics where you believe in good and bad things. But when it comes to, like, working with your brain, taking a step back from that can be really useful. Just, like, let's turn that off for a second. Just look at the results just for what it is, right?
Right. Well, and the thing, too, like, good or bad, it just depends on how you think about good or bad.
Exactly.
Right?
Everyone has their own flavor of that.
Yeah. Like, if I'm sitting there thinking lying is so bad and going there, like, then I can actually just shift my thinking into, like, I want to be in a marriage where my husband isn't lying to me, right? So I don't have to judge the behavior, but I can just, like, choose what it is that I want and, like, my reasons for it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the funny thing about this model you just shared is you really could flip that to, like, me, you know, and leave that up on the screen there. Because, you know, like, I could have the circumstance be I looked at porn, and then I would think things are never going to get better, and I would feel hopeless. And then my actions, I wouldn't want to snuggle either. Like, when I'm feeling that way and thinking that I'm the cause of Lindsay's pain, like, I would withdraw from her because I was scared I would hurt her more. Right? And so I'd, like, remove myself from the equation as much as possible when I'd feel that way. And so it's kind of funny, like, how we both had a very similar model. And then the result was the same. It's like, I don't do anything to, like, work on my porn habits. I don't do anything to, like, be engaged in the relationship while I'm feeling this way. I kind of, like, withdraw from the relationship.
Yeah. And you did your share of eating and Netflixing, too.
Oh, plenty. I gained, like...
Oh, and video gaming.
Yeah, when I first stopped looking at porn, I didn't do any of this thought work to change the patterns in my brain. So, and this is an important thing to recognize for guys out there who think, like, if porn never existed, this wouldn't be a problem, because it's not true. Like, if porn was not a thing suddenly, you would still have the same thought patterns in your brain that would manifest in another way if you don't ever address what's going on in your brain.
Yeah, what
and
am
so,
I?
So for me, I turned to food and video games. I gained like 40 pounds and I was playing a lot more video games because I was just changing the action line instead of the thoughts and feelings underneath.
Yeah, one of my colleagues that I really like, she kind of made a joke about that too. It's like, we think that, like, our phones are the problem and keeping, like, we're less present with our family because of our phones or whatever it is. But she's like, this stuff was happening hundreds of years ago too. It just looked different. And so the point in that is that it really just comes more from our thinking than what's available or not available to us. Yeah. It's just different types of coping, but we're all doing the same thing, avoiding emotions and not processing them.
Yeah, and that's what's so powerful about owning. First of all, identifying what your results are in a way where you can, like, just observe it, like Lindsay said, and then owning that it's not happening because of the circumstances, but from your own thinking that is optional, which sometimes is hard to do. It's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
It is.
But it's also where you claim all of your power.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I will say, I was just coaching one of my clients. I shared this example with her where, like, with my weight, like, there have been times where I was at my goal weight, which, so that means, like, circumstance was at whatever my normal baseline was years ago. Like, that, you would think, well, oh, she's there. Like, she's good. She's happy. But, like, I will tell you, like, being at that baseline that I set for myself, like, that was not the answer. And my thinking patterns did not change. And so even at that weight, I wasn't accepting myself. I was still finding things I didn't like about my body and all the things. And it was really fascinating because with everything Danny and I were going through, I gained a lot of weight over that time. And as I approached, I found coaching just as I was approaching kind of my max weight, my max weight sans child and sans child in my belly. And I approached it with, like, so much more compassion and acceptance than I ever had before because of my thinking, not because of the number on the scale. And so it really, if you can open up your brain to the idea that, like, the circumstance, the facts, might be neutral, and you can choose what you want to think about it. Like it can be so empowering.
Yeah, and it's really natural to want to blame the circumstances for whether it's, you know, some situation in your life or something that your husband did or whoever did, right? To try to feel better.
Well, and a lot of us were programmed that way.
Exactly.
Whether it was like family, society, movies, music.
Yeah, it's a common message out in the world. Yeah. So yeah, don't put yourself down for doing that naturally, but just notice it. Like when it comes up, just notice it. But that's really important that you don't have to change the circumstances to get new results in your life. You don't have to change your past. You don't have to change your husband or your wife, right? You can get new results without changing any of that. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about results, something important is the results doesn't include other people, right? So when you're doing a model, like your result isn't going to be, and then my husband is fixed and doesn't look at porn ever again, right? That's not going to be your result in your model.
Because it's beyond the realm of your control. And if you think it's in your control, it's just an illusion. It never really is.
Yeah. But then by the same token, it's also not an essential thing that he does change in order for you to create better results in your life and even a better relationship in your marriage, right?
Which we can, again, we're going to talk about relationships and what that means in another podcast episode. Yeah. But the point is like,
we already did,
how can you, maybe we did, how can you take care of yourself so that you know, like another colleague of mine, she's like, don't leave a job until you're happy. Don't leave a marriage until you're happy. And like that's the point is like, if you don't change your thinking patterns, then when the circumstance changes, you're just going to take those same patterns into a new marriage, right? Or like a new, if you think it's a neighborhood that's wrong or a ward that you don't like that, you're just going to keep finding the same thing. And so with coaching, that's what we want to offer you is like, find a way to be content and complacent and happy with what is. And then you can make a decision about what it is that you want in your marriage. You might decide, yeah, I actually want to be in a marriage where someone isn't lying to me all the time, right? And you don't have to like decide that someone's good or someone's bad or that porn ruined things. You don't have to decide those. I mean, you can, but like it can just be a matter of like what you want and like loving yourself enough to decide that you're willing to create that for you.
Yeah. So something I was going to say is, and this is cool, you don't actually have to focus on changing your results in order to change your results, okay? So here's what I mean. When you use the model and you start really breaking down why you have your current results and you're really able to own that it's from your own thinking that you're choosing, sometimes just going through that process without trying to jump to the results you want, like sometimes just that process alone is enough to like shake things loose and put your awareness in this new place where you just have more power to naturally create new results in your life. So that's one of the cool things about this process. Before you get ahead of yourself and start thinking, okay, well, what results do I want? Like really focus on nailing down why you have the current results. And that's the best starting point
and
that you can take, right?
I think that, and then again, like being mindful, not judging yourself and having compassion
absolutely
for where you are right now and taking that time to just have some compassion and love for yourself and practice that, like to me, that's going to move you more naturally into where you want to go than anything else.
Yeah, something I do after doing models for myself is I do something that I call compassionate analysis, where I just start writing about the model in the most compassionate way that I can, taking the judgment out, and man, it enhances my self-coaching in a big way.
Yeah, that's what I do with my clients too.
Because I had a lot of practice not thinking about myself compassionately for many years, and that's been a new skill that I've needed to learn.
Expert at that, probably.
Well, I'm getting better and better. But it's, yeah, I like to think of it as just like a skill that I didn't know yet.
No, I was saying you're an expert at not being compassionate.
Oh, I was, yes. Yes.
Oh.
So, okay. But then, so after you've done this process, the next fun part is you get to ask, what result do you want to create, right? And something important when you start doing this is a lot of times we're afraid of like dreaming too big, like, no, I need to be realistic. I don't want to get my hopes up too high, right? It's, we have this idea of why we shouldn't like shoot for the stars, mm-hmm. right? And it all seems really like reasonable and smart, the smart thing to do, the responsible thing to, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we encourage you to do is when you start asking yourself what results you do want in your life, you already probably have a lot of practice doing it from the it's not probably not going to happen space in your head, right? So when you do think about what result and imagine this, try doing it from a new headspace where like maybe it is possible. Maybe the realistic thing actually is to dream big here.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of that difference between like thinking with probability versus possibility, right? And so that probability, like maybe it is something you've never done before, but we don't want to make decisions about our future based on our past thinking, right? We want to like decide what we want from this place of possibility so we can like shift into the thinking that creates stuff that we've never created. So this, it can be so fun, yeah. This practice.
Yeah, just and like just take a moment to like do it in your head, or we recommend writing it down. It's such a different experience to write it down than it is to do this in your head. Like write down what your dream scenario is for you of where you think you can get with your own results in your own life, right? Independent of trying to control other people and what they're doing.
So
then the next step, when you've got a clear picture of what you want, that result you want, you can use the same coaching model and work your way backwards in it, okay? So the next questions that you can ask yourself is, and this is one a lot of us already do, is what do I need to do? What would I need to do to create that result? Your actions, right? Mm-hmm. But then this is where a lot of us stop a lot of times. It's just, what do I need to do? What diet do I need to lose the weight? What should I do to work out to lose the weight and get the body I want? Like,
tell me my macros.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, and so actions are super important. And
yeah, there's nothing wrong with those actions.
And they do create your results ultimately. But if you stop there, then you're just going to be using willpower to try to force the actions, right? So then the next question you can ask is, how would you need to feel in order to drive those actions? Okay, mm-hmm. This is an awesome question to start thinking about. And if it feels awkward and uncomfortable at first to start asking yourself, that's a good thing, okay? You're rewiring your brain. Let it be a little awkward and uncomfortable. Let your brain kind of wonder for a little bit, what is the feeling? And then after that, you ask yourself, what would you need to think in order to create that feeling? Okay, and so you've built backwards from this model, and you're not changing the circumstance from the other model. You keep the circumstance the same because that's part of the power. You don't have to change the circumstance to change your results. So then you've just decided what you want your story to be about that neutral circumstance, and then it leads to feeling, to action, and to that result that you want.
Yeah, what would you say to like to some of your guys who might struggle with feeling emotion? Because here's the thing, like, it's so important that you find a thought that like really does drive an emotion. Like, you have to be able to, it's almost like, can you think that thought right now and bring and like and elicit that emotion in your body where you actually feel it, right? And like, if you can create that for yourself, like that again is what's going to drive the actions that you want. Some people, you know, maybe have like blocked out feeling, and maybe you did some of this too.
Oh, yeah.
So like, if there's someone who has blocked out feeling for a really long time and it feels kind of uncomfortable to like be like, well, I don't know what feeling it would be, or, well, it's probably this feeling, but like, you know, how can you help someone get into that place where they can start feeling the way they want to so that they can do more of what they want?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, this comes up a lot, and I used to do this a lot more than I do now, where I would just kind of run from my emotions. I'd resist them a lot.
It's like a superpower.
Especially the uncomfortable ones. But yeah. What's funny is the more I've progressed through this, the more I realize how much I do it with the positive emotions too, which I always thought was a no-brainer. I wanted to feel those, but it's been interesting to pick up on that. It's like, just resist emotion across the board. Don't get too high or too low, or else, I don't know.
Well, and you can't have it one way or the other either. You can't resist the negative, but and then feel like the joy that we want to feel in life. So usually, yeah, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, because it's always a 50-50 experience. Okay, so what would I say? First of all, like, that's how a lot of us have learned to do it. So if that's what you do, like, just appreciate that you do it that way for a good reason, and you have a lower part of your brain, your lizard brain, that wants to avoid pain naturally, yeah, and that includes emotional pain. So you might have kind of let your lower brain run the show instead of your upper brain, and a lot of us have experience with that, and then you kind of develop this habit of resisting emotion. Okay, and then another thing to consider is, like, for something like porn, and it could be any way that people escape their emotions, right? But we'll talk about porn. A lot of times, what helps your lower brain to get more of that concentrated dopamine from the porn is resisting emotions, right? Because when you resist emotions, you're using willpower, and your willpower will run out, and then your lower brain knows that it can more easily go on autopilot mode at that point and get more of the porn. Right? But part of that process is you're rewarding this whole pattern of resisting emotions. Okay, so if your knee-jerk reaction is to resist emotions, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'd be surprised if it wasn't that way, if you have a habit like porn involved. Okay, so mm-hmm. So first, just kind of appreciate why it's there and that it's happening that way for a good reason. But then as you do start to explore not resisting, I think a good place to start is just start noticing when you're resisting emotion, right? Like, instead mm-hmm. of trying to, like, feel the emotion and notice that, like, I would start just asking, am I resisting an emotion right now?
But, like, what does that look like? Like, setting a little check-in on your phone, or...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I created something that I read through, that I'd read every day. And it would remind me to, like, check in, like, yeah, am I resisting emotion? Or for me, I, like, start scratching my head. I do this scratching thing that is usually a good sign that I'm resisting some emotion of some sort, right? I've actually done a little bit while recording this podcast. I don't know why. So yeah, just, and instead of trying to, like, get rid of the resistance, we're just noticing, right? Mm-hmm. So just start with noticing it and don't worry about getting rid of it. Just, like, am I resisting emotion right now? And the interesting thing is, usually we're so scared something terrible happen with an emotion if we allow it. But the worst part is already happening. The worst part and most uncomfortable part is the resisting of it. That's, like, what makes it, like, such a...
Feel so charged.
Yeah, it's like you're suffering instead of just feeling, right? Mm-hmm. It adds that suffering element. So, so yeah. And then, if you... Anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, thank you.
Good question. So, if you don't have the result that you want in your life yet, if you've, like, done this exercise and you've decided what result you want... If you don't have it right now, it's because you don't yet believe the thought fully that is going to help create that result in your life.
Well, and maybe you haven't even dialed in to what that thought is.
Right.
Right? And then when you do dial that into that, maybe it might take some work to believe it.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is like you want to know, you want to think about, like, who that person is with that result. And, like, how does she feel about this?
Yeah.
What is she thinking when she knows she has that result?
Yes.
Right? What's she thinking and feeling? And our brains are so powerful. Like, if you sit and, like, ask yourself that, like, oh, well, she's like, hey, that was great. Glad I did that. Is she at ease? Oh, she's totally at ease. Right? And if you can create that feeling of at ease for yourself in the moment, like, that's what's going to just kind of shift you into her or him, whoever it is that you're wanting to, you know, become in the future. And so it can be really powerful work in that way too, when you kind of, like, dial in to, like, well, how would future self be thinking about this?
Yeah.
Who has the result? Powerful. So, yeah.
I was going to add something to that. What was it? Oh, and it's really helpful just to know where you would need to get to create that result, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you do this exercise, even if you're not there yet, like, at least you have a clear picture of where you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. And if you're practicing doing it from the it's possible energy, then, I mean, that's, like, the best starting point to just start drifting in that. Not drifting, that sounds so unintentional, but yeah. Moving, actively moving in that direction by choice,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you do this on your own and you're still not getting the results you want, then I would say maybe try to find a coach or someone that can help you with it, because it's amazing what other people see that you don't always see, and that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just means you're a human.
Yep.
And, you know, like, coaches get coached. We all love, I love getting help and insight from my peers or from my own coach. So, yeah.
All right. So hey. If there's a list of actions you want to see from yourself, don't just focus on how do I make those actions happen. Also focus on what result is that going to be creating for me, and what do I need to feel and think to help drive those actions to the results that I want.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypohlman.com and dannypohlman.com. Make sure you spell Pohlman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.